How many of you in here work for a living?
Right, some of us. Why do you work? What's the goal? Did I hear the R word yet? I don't know why there's wind going through my sails. But
might be, oh, me, that's I'm you. Breathing.
What are you doing?
Walking.
Most people in this country work as part of the American dream so that they can someday, right? And it's a weird concept. It's a very nice concept. But when you go into the Bible and you see people like Paul talking to Timothy about pouring out his life like a drink offering and running the race hard until he draws his last breath, that is a pretty cool thing. And it's amazing to me, so many times I get to meet a lot of different pastors, and I get to meet a lot of retired pastors, and it always seems weird. And believe me, I understand, I believe that it's a hard task. But we know that that task of being a minister of God is not a job or an occupation. It's a calling that's high. And so when I look at people like Paul and Susan, how long have you been in the ministry now?
1971, so 45 years.
45 years. I'm not going to ask him how old he is. But 65. These guys...
65.
Okay. They are not retiring. They've basically recently started over. And the church in Thailand and the culture in Thailand is not like here. We talked last week about comfortable Christianity and how this nation has been very, very comfortable in our faith for a long time. That's different. And these guys volunteered to go over there and to live that life. And that, to me, that is inspiring. That's huge. I want to be able to look back on my life and know that I did everything I could for the Lord, because the kingdom is worth it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is worth it. Every soul that is currently lost is worth it. And so we want you guys to have that mindset. And pray for Paul too. Just, you know, throw those prayers up while he's up here, because I know that he's backwards off his schedule right now as far as sleep and as far as all of that. So just, you know, throw one up once in a while you take in what God's given you through him. Lord God, speak through this man truth, so that we may hear it and we may love you more and glorify you more in our lives. We ask in your name. Amen.
All right. Thank you. Well, it is 1:20 in the morning in Thailand. And I've had, you do pray for me. If I slept night before last 2.5 hours, it was 1 hour. And two and a half hours the night before. So, but last night I had 6 hours, so I'm a little better today, but still somewhat in a fog. But it is a blessing, let me say, that we are 14 hours ahead of you. Sunday nights, I make it my habit to pray for the churches in America. And I just take time aside to go, and sometimes it's in the late afternoon, it's still daylight, on my bicycle, and just in my mind go across America praying for the churches that will be gathering that day. For the Lord's blessing. And we do thank the Lord for the door. It was a joy to be here 14 months ago, I believe it was, and to, Tuesday evening, to gather. How many of you were here at that time? Okay, just a few. But it was a great blessing to be with you at that time, and it's a joy to be with you this morning. Well, let me say, I did not retire. Okay, I don't believe Christians ever retire, at least from ministry, and that has been stated. But as a pastor, my heart was, I had a pastor's heart, and I was going to be a pastor until I died. I had become the pastor of the church where I was converted, and I grew up in that church. I loved that church. I loved the ministry. I saw the children become parents, and some of them become grandparents while I was their pastor. And it was a joy. But in 2004, a friend invited me to go with him to Thailand. He was kind of overseeing this ministry in Thailand among the hill tribes. Now, I don't have a pointer, but if you look in the mountainous regions, I can't point at it, but northern Thailand, Chiang Mai is there, and then northern Laos, northern Burma or Myanmar, and southern China, the Yunnan province, and then also Vietnam, we have the hill tribes. And these are the people we were ministering to, primarily the Lahu, but that has expanded to others, the Lisu and the Wa, the Hmong, and other tribes as well, Akha. But these do not look like Chinese. They do not look like Thai. To me, they look like Native Americans. The particular people we were ministering to, we supported the work when I was pastor before I went. But in 2004, I was invited to go and to visit, and Susan and I spent 10 days there. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All authority is given unto me, all power, and all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go, teach all nations, make disciples among all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And what a blessing. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." Our glorious Savior, our sovereign Lord, sits at the right hand of the Father. But there, as He was with His disciples, He said, "Go, and as you're going, make disciples among all nations." Chinese. 1.56 billion Chinese just above us. But Thai, Lahu, Lisu, Wa, Hmong, all nations, all ethnic groups were to go. What a great task. And I believe that's given to us personally as a church. The door has that commission. Be a part of that. All nations. Don't just stay focused in on yourselves. Go into all the world. What a big field. That flight. Now, is that right, China? That flight is not fun. You know, when we flew from Dallas, I believe it was 16 hours from Dallas to Seoul, and then 6 hours to Chiang Mai from Seoul. That's a long time, sitting in an airplane flying at 600 miles per hour. But there is the other side of the world. And it's not the same. But it's not just the other side of the world in this big globe. There are villages all over that part of the world. And those villages are made up of individuals. And what a task is given us. Not only all the world, every ethnic group, but every creature. When I was a pastor and I went to visit Thailand, I saw the potential there as the primary focus of my predecessor. Let me go to that second slide. And I need to move along here. Wayne Camp had founded a seminary in the United States, but he became burdened for the country of Thailand and went to work. And Brother Camp is sitting in the middle here with the cane sitting next to me, but in 2001, he had begun a preacher school. And so in 2007, he had open heart surgery and asked me to come over and take his place for 6 weeks. So I went for 6 weeks, didn't know any language, didn't know much. But wow, what a thrill to be there. I began to take my vacation from pastoring 3 weeks out of the year after that and to go to Thailand. He asked me to come and to work with him. But then he began to say, "Would you take my place?" Wow. And I loved my church. How could I leave these people? I took a week in, I believe it was October 2012, a week aside to pray went up into the mountains, if you can call them that in Oklahoma, among the buffalo, and prayed, seeking the Lord. The reason I'm telling this is that you must know what the Lord wants you to do. I wrestled, leaving my people, leaving the pastorate. A pastor is a shepherd. Like our Lord, He is willing to lay down His life for the sheep, and thank God for your faithful pastors here. Men who love the Lord above their own life and love the people above their own lives. And let me say that was true. I loved my church. I loved every single one of the people. Loved the opportunities that were before us. And yet, now the Lord was moving me. And how could I do this? But there was that phone call. Would you move? And you know, there's no question. So then the task to go back to my church. I first met with my other elders and deacons, and they said, please, please, please do not resign. Would you take 3 months and go to Thailand and there minister for 3 months and then make up your mind after that? And so this is the time. This is at the end of that 3 months. And what we'd begun to discover while we were there is that this dear brother, Brother Wayne Camp, would only be there 3 to 4 months out of the year, and he would be teaching the men, but he would be taken, he lived in the city, his health was poor, he would be picked up, taken out to the compound, there he would teach, then he would go home. He had no contact with the people directly, nor with the home missionary, the native missionary there. But what Susan and I discovered as we went there is that this man, the native man, had real problems. In fact, we had no idea. But this very day, he had told me, he said, you're not going to preach at this church. And I said, well, and they had asked me to preach. I said, yes, I am. But we came to find out that this man was a deceiver, a liar, a pedophile, a thief, had abused our children. We had a children's home and had abused the boys, was stealing, had all the properties in all the villages were put in his name. And this very village, one day these people all had to move because he sold it out from under them. Now, he did not buy that property. The churches in America that donated had given for this. But he was a thief, a narcissist. And that's what we discovered. And so Susan and I found ourselves. I went back to America and I resigned my church. You say, why did you do that? Because the Lord called me. I could not prove all this that the man was doing. And at that time, I had not begun to know a little bit of what he had done. But I went back, resigned, went across America, raised support. We moved to Thailand, October 2013, and worked with this man for 5 months, saw what he was, stood up against him. We were threatened. Our lives were threatened. We moved out. We didn't know where to go. We were homeless. We had no contact. We spoke no language. Susan could say, Sawatika. She could say greetings in Thai. She had gone to language school. I could speak a little bit of Lahu, but we had no contact with any of the villages. We were cut off. We didn't know what to, but the Lord had called us. You see, that's what's important. We knew the Lord had called us there, and we could not turn back. But let me move forward. We had this man, we found out all the things he did. For 2 years, we were in court, criminal lawsuits with the man. And finally, all the church properties have now been freed. We thank God. And now it's mushrooming. Now let me move on with the present ministry. In the last year, what has happened? Since I was here last, the ministry has just mushroomed. Let's move on to the next slide. I have to turn around to see preaching. Every Lord's Day, we try to be in a different village. The churches need encouragement. And we travel up into the mountains. This particular one, This is a Lisu village. The other was a Lahu and Lisu, two different translators. Go back to the one before, if you would. Okay, I am speaking in English. The man on my left for you, Lek, is my interpreter. I don't have time to tell you how God's sovereignly, let me say, he answers prayer. He's in control of all things. I had nobody to interpret for me. And at my lawyer's office, this man's dad came in. And he said, I have a son who speaks English fluently. And Alahu, who's fluent in Thai and Lahu, well, he became my interpreter. And then the man over on the far side is Lahu, but he speaks Lisu. We were preaching in three different languages that day. And I'm not used to speaking by myself, by the way. But let's move on, okay? Okay, and here we are in a Lisu village, and that time it was in Thai and in Lisu. Let's move on. But we travel each week there. I'm preaching outside in a village. They lost their building to this deceiver. They were meeting outside, but they're preaching the glorious gospel of our Savior. Let's move to the next one. This is Moses. He is 68 years old and lives right up on the border of Burma or Myanmar. And he is Lek's father. He's the one I was with the day before I met Lek, my interpreter. But there I'm preaching right up on the border, way up in the mountains in Thailand. Okay, let's move to the next one. Okay, travel. Pray for us about our travel. It is, at this time of year, it's very precarious. 5 months out of the year, we have little or no rain. And so, dry season, we can get most anywhere in this four-wheel drive Nissan, which the Lord provided for us. But rainy season is a different thing. But some of these, Lek calls this particular village Genesis. He says this is at the very beginning. And it's the end of the road. But let's move on. Rainy season, it is so muddy. Two times I have started sliding off. One time I did slide off a mountain. And the Lord certainly had his hand upon us. We sang earlier about the angels, but we were going round and around sliding down a mountain, and the Lord just stopped us. And I put it in four-wheel drive. The guys jumped out. They were with me. And I put it in four-wheel drive, and we just edged our way out. But there are those, we are going along mountain ridges with mud, just drops off on both sides, just very narrow, just a few inches on each side of the truck. So let me say, we do need, but I'm so grateful the Lord is sovereign and he keeps us. But let's move on. There's the truck the Lord provided. A church in Denver bought that truck. A church in Kansas City bought that cover. And let's move to the next one. Sometimes I have had 18 people in a little truck. Now, Americans would go crazy. You know, we grew up riding in the back of a pickup. It's illegal now in America. Did you know that? Unless you have a seatbelt. But in Thailand, they cram them in, stack them in. You'll have five people on the motorcycle. And one of them, they're carrying a baby. Now, by law, the driver has to have a helmet. But anyway, I need to move along here. Okay, let's go to the next one. Now, this is a very remote village. We've just been there. We went there for the first time this year. And this is a Lisu and Lahu. This is their church building just right on a... What a beautiful setting. Okay, it takes hours to get there. This is a typical... This is a Lahu village. They build their houses, the bamboo houses, on stilts. And they are a migrant people, and so they move from country to country. They really have no country. They came out of China, but they are in Laos. They are in Myanmar. But that's why our ministry is not in Thailand alone. We have those from Burma, from Laos, and we're going up into China this year. Okay, let's move along. Water is a problem. I'm going to talk about medicine in a moment, but this church has had a major part in the health of the people. I don't know how much, but I know over $3,000 this church gave for water. And we bought water filters. A friend of mine, he's now a friend in Edmond, Oklahoma, invented this small filter. And isn't it lucky? I don't believe in luck. People, God is God. But we went to a large store there in Thailand, and they had the perfect container you take off their little spout, and the filter fit right in. Just perfectly. We buy those, we carry them up into the villages, and they have clean water. Their water is full of bacteria and viruses, like say, and thank God. But you have a big part in the health of these people, and what a blessing to be able to share in that. Now let's move along to the next one. There they are with their water filters and the containers. And you can take the water out of the dirtiest river. You can put in that container. As it goes through the filter, it is perfectly safe to drink. What a blessing. Let's move. And there is Susan. We call it doing medicine. My precious wife is not a nurse. She was a medical transcriptionist, so she knows the words. But, you know, as we travel in the village, these people have no contact. They're up in the mountains, away from the doctors, the hospitals. But not only that, they don't speak the language. They're in countries where they do not speak the native tongue. Most of the Thai people look upon them as if they were monkeys. In fact, one lady said, well, do they live in trees? Like, are they human? But in every country they go, they are despised, but they have no contact. Even if they go to the doctor, they can't speak to him. But what a blessing that we can buy medicine at the pharmacies and take it up into the mountains. And every week, as after I preach and we explain about water, then she does, we call it, does medicine and ministers with people. And she has a long line. Not only those that were in the service, pretty soon we find new ones. Now, I don't believe in gimmicks, but let me say at times I've been tempted not to preach until we've done medicine so I could get all those people out there and while she's doing medicine, preach. But anyway, let's move on. This church sent this dear man. And amazing. And I know he told the story of how God brought him through customs. Everyone told us, you can't go through customs without equipment. He'll be arrested. Be deported. But he says, God is over it all. You know, and they just said, go on through. But there, that portable bench and everything. But these people had never seen a dentist. And they were scared. And they came out and said, wow, that was easy. Huh, it didn't even hurt. So, next, he's a great dentist, by the way. He was my dentist. And there, Sister Diane, they're getting things ready. The next one. And there they are laboring in one of the remote villages. Okay, we have a ministry to babies. Winter in northern Thailand in the mountains is cold. I mean, it's like it was last night where we live. I don't know. It was probably gets 38, was there last night. And it gets that cold up in the mountains. Doesn't freeze, but it gets cold. But there's no fire. In winter, I wear wool pajamas and my sweatsuit and socks. By the way, I have socks on today. I hardly ever wear socks. Okay, I usually preach indoors, you never wear shoes. I'm barefooted. And somebody commented, they saw one of my slides and said, you're barefooted. But we don't think anything of that. But let me say, those babies get cold. The mortality rate, I don't know what it is, but I know it's high. But we have a ministry where we do things for... She buys gifts, makes... Let's go to the next one. She buys baby clothes. Next one. Okay, next one. And she crochets hats. Everywhere we're driving, my wife is sitting there crocheting. Whatever we're doing. I mean, even on the flight over here, she was crocheting for the babies. Keep their heads warm in the wintertime. Well, what a blessing. Okay, there's one of the precious little ones. Okay. Okay. Okay, the medical ministry, this young man, he is an orphan. Lost both his parents, and he is in Moses, my interpreter's father. He's in his children's home, but his front tooth was knocked out. He wouldn't even open his mouth. He's a young teenager, was so ashamed, and for, I think, 5,000 baht, $175, through donations of people, he got a new front tooth. Now, can you get that in America? But anyway, but what a blessing. He was so happy, and we took his picture. Okay, next one. Okay, there's Sai, sterilizing. Let me tell you what the group you sent over, whatever we needed, they did it. Just what a blessing they were. Okay, next one. This is my primary calling. Psalm 71. David prayed, Lord, now when I'm old and gray-headed, don't forsake me until I have declared your glory, your power to the next generation. The burden, Paul said to Timothy in his last letter, the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Our Lord, we're told that he prayed all night, Luke chapter 6. Then in Mark chapter 3, we're told he went up into a mountain, he called unto him whom he would, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. We see this is God's plan. You know, we don't see so much seminaries in the Bible, but we do find that discipleship, that godly men taking aside, whether it's in a school setting or whatever it is, but taking them aside and teaching them, pouring them not just knowledge, but their hearts into these men, walking with them, living with them, as the 12 walked and lived with our Lord and were taught by Him. And this is my burden, that God would raise up preachers. Thailand is 90-some percent Buddhist. Let me say Buddhism is an awful religion. Buddhism emphasizes sin but has no remedy. Oh, we have a Savior. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. We have a glorious gospel. Glorious. Thailand needs it. Let me say, it's an unreached country. I am ministering to tribals, but I tell these Lahu and Lisu men as we meet each month for a week, say, who knows? But what they will say of you one day, these who have turned the world upside down have come here. That God will use Galileans to reach those in Judea and to reach into Rome. Here was a Jew, the despised Jew, reaching into all the known world at that time with the gospel. God uses those things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. And we're praying that God would use these men. Pray for them. Let's go to the next one. These men are from Thailand. These men are from Laos, a communist country. They are under threat of persecution, and yet they are ready to give their lives for the cause of Christ. The first thing that I teach when men come is Luke 14:25-35, where the Lord taught us there, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Brethren, we who are the Lord's disciples, our lives are His. We belong to Him. 100%. We're commanded, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When we come to Christ, is it not correct, the acronym F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I take, or I trust Him? Indeed. But I tell these men, listen, if you're not willing to die for Christ and to live for Christ, no matter what, don't come. Don't come. Let's move to the next one. But these men under threat, here we are in Laos, and there they've just built this building. It is illegal, but the local officials have overlooked it, and we're thankful. But here are 12 men right now, and they say there are more coming to be trained and to be taught. But these are not just pastors. These men, some of them are missionaries. God has given them a heart to be reaching out into new villages and to go. And not only these, but the ones before. Let's move to the next one. These men are in Burma. You pray for them. In Burma, they live in an area where I believe he is a drug lord. He is the official. He has 22,000 acres. And he's tried to hold his thumb over these preachers. A year ago, I went up into Burma and preached to over 500. But after that, as we began to lay down what was required, that man would not allow these preachers to come to training. But the Lord changed that. Isn't it wonderful to serve a God who is sovereign? With Him, nothing is impossible. But Lord willing, in September, these men and others will be coming from Burma for training. But let's move on. Here's one of the pastors, and this is a Lahu Bible, Lipu. It's very poorly translated. In fact, you pray for me, I'm translating. And as I'm teaching through the book of Romans to these preachers, and by the way, that's foundational to understand the gospel and the basic doctrines of the Word of God. They're found in the book of Romans. It's not by chance that Romans is first among the epistles. But as I'm teaching through, I realize how poor it is, and they were having trouble to grasp, so I've had to translate. But you pray for these men. Okay, let's move along. Okay, next one. Okay, these are our children. My wife was a CASA, court-appointed special advocate, when we were in Oklahoma, and she said, working with foster children, she was the eyes for the judge. And at one point she says, if I quit this, we could take in foster children. And I said, honey, I'm in my 60s. We can't have children now, and I'm too busy in the ministry. And now we go to Thailand, we have 8 children. By the way, children are children around the world. You say, well, my children are like this. Well, so are they. Okay. But what a blessing. You know, before I came here, the children in our devotion time in the evening were saying, when are you going home, Grandpa? They call me Grandpa and her Grandma. They said, when are you going home? Now, most of them are orphans. Some of them never had a family. But they said, when are you going home to America? I said, I'm not going home to America. I said, I'm going to America. This is my home. I want them to know they're secure, that we are their family, and that we've given ourselves to them. And that was true among the tribals. The rumor spread about us as we were fighting with this man. He kept saying, they've gone to America, or they've been deported, or this or that. And I let the people know, no, we've come to live and to die in this country. We've given our hearts to you. And let's move along. There they are at the dentist. There were 12 cavities, by the way, that day. Okay. The people we've met. I just had to mention Rusty, who's become another son. That's your brother, Becky, Rebecca. But we met him there, and he's on fire. He was an atheist that the Lord saved from Australia. He lives in Brisbane, Australia. And while he's moving back to Thailand, as soon as he can, wants to labor and support the work. But pray for Rusty. The Bible camps. We have Bible camps in the mountains, like vacation Bible schools, but among the up in the tribal villages. And let's move along. What a blessing it is to share the gospel with all the children. And there's Jessica back there, as well as Henry in the front. Okay, let's move along. Oh, and there's Casey. That's Esai's son. Okay, next one. Jessica helping with activities. Okay, there she is. Next one. Okay, Susan teaching. She teaches not only Bible stories, but also English. Okay, next one. Okay, and then they fixed, everything was in disrepair. They'd go up to the building. That beam was about to, was rotten, eaten through with rotten termites. And so Cy and Casey, we bought a beam and they put it up. And what a blessing to have their help. Okay. I don't want to do this one yet. I want to go back to the education. Susan teaching English. The tribal children have no hope. The girls generally, they may, 13 or 14, they're married. There's no future. They have no, like I say, the education system is very poor. But we have a plan. You pray for us. When we went through all this ordeal, we lost our compound, and we have no building. We have no place. We're renting a place where we live, and then I rent another place to do the preacher's training. But our burden now, and the doors have become open to us legally to take in children, and to teach them. They can go to informal school one day a week, Thai school, and get a degree after 4 years. They can get a high school diploma, which these children never graduate. But the second thing, we can teach them then the other 4 days and in English. And when they become fluent in English, let me say the opportunities are so great for them, not only in Thailand. So our burden is, but also to teach them the Word of God. So we've had how many children offered to us, Susan? Hundreds. Every village we go, the parents say, would you take our children? We say, no, they need parents. But there is a great need. The reason they want us to take their children is because of the drug problem, the lack of education. They say, we want hope for our children. But this is a great need. You pray for us. We need land. We need facilities. But God is God. In His timing, but we're hoping by next year to have a place where we can bring the preachers in on one side of the property and have preachers training, and they can live in a huge bamboo hut, and the children on the other side of the property, and we can give them an education and teach them the Word of God. That's the hope for the future. Okay, the next one. What you say? What? No, on the back one. There we go. Chahe. I met Chahe years ago. He had a stroke. He has been a shut-in for many years. Sometimes they'll put him in a little cart and wheel him around. But he was pastor of a mountain village church. But recently I preached in that church, and his wife said, would you come over to our house and see Chahe? I said, of course I will. But I got there and I thought, what a blessing. You say, what can I do? Chahe said, I get up at 5 o'clock every morning and I pray for you. My heart melted. And he says, and his pastor, let me say, these men have been taught false doctrine. I don't know what they believe until I have met with them and begin to teach and we talk and discuss and go through the book of Romans. I don't know what they believe. But his pastor has held me at arm's length. But he says, I've been telling my pastor and praying for him that he will come. Well, last month he came and he's so excited. But this man said, I pray for you. Let me say, above $10 million, I would cherish your prayers. Above any money amount. Pray for us. Pray for us. We are nothing. We have no wisdom. We have no strength. At times I feel so weak, I get tired. It's 7 days a week. You say, well, take a day off. Well, when? When you don't have help, the needs are there. You have to take care of them. You mothers know that, don't you? But pray for us. Pray for us. The second thing, follow Christ. And that's the first. If you're not following Christ, don't bother to pray for us. But follow Him with all your heart. I've been meditating on Hebrews 12. I'm teaching through Hebrews 11 as well as Romans, the faith chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. These of chapter 11, he pictures it as if they're now gone. Yes, their lives have ended, but they're sitting in the grandstands. By the way, those who've gone before aren't watching us. That wouldn't be much heaven, would it? But he is setting them up there for us that as we're in the race and we're running, we see them. They're the Word of God recorded for us. These who laid aside everything to follow Christ. Abel, who offered nothing before God but the bloody sacrifice expressing his faith in the Lord Jesus. I see him, and we point men to faith in the Lord Jesus. That's their only hope. Abel may have been killed by his brother, but he didn't die. He, being dead, yet speaks. And there he is with our Lord. Our hope, preaching the gospel. But not only Abel, we look at Enoch, who walked with God in that evil day. And he walked with God. Can you imagine what that means? Walk with God. Not with the church only. Personally. It's a joy. I don't like to go anywhere without my wife. We've been praying about a school, and I can't be distracted here, but let me just tell you this, answers to prayer. We've been praying about school, and we thought we're going to need help, and we need help. As we've been praying, a young lady contacted us last week. She just got her master's degree. She's teaching in Arkansas. She said, I'm not happy in the public school. I want to tell people about Jesus, tell these children about Jesus. She said, can I come and spend some time with you and teach? I go, yeah. Lord willing, we'll be with her next week and see her. But listen, give your life to follow Christ. Enoch walked with God in fellowship with Him in that dark day, and America is dark. I moved away 3 years ago, and this is not the country I left 3 years ago. This country is getting darker by the minute. You know what causes darkness? The absence of light. And our dear brother just spoke of that. You must be that candle lit. You must be a light. But it's the lack of light that has brought about that decline in America. We can blame it on other people, but no, it's the Christians failing to shine. But we see Enoch in that evil day. He walked with God. And Noah, he built the ark. Being mocked and laughed at. He was faithful in the service of the Lord, doing what God had called him to do. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Abraham, he left all and followed the Lord. Maybe the Lord's going to call you like He did us. China is not America. Let me tell you, Thailand is a different planet. We moved there, the food is different. The language is different. Culture is different. It's different. But maybe God's going to take you. He's going to call you, and you're going to go way outside of your comfort zone. Our comfort is before us. I must close. Our time is gone, but looking, let's go to the next one. Pray for us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, it's not an easy road to follow Christ. And it does call for endurance. It does call for laying aside anything that will hinder you. It does call for laying aside the sin which does so easily beset you. This may be the last day of your life. You say, well, I'm going to serve the Lord tomorrow. No, if you don't serve Him today, today is the day. Maybe now there are those things encumbering you. By the way, your possessions. What happens to your possessions? They bog you down. Yes, enjoy them and thank God. I like conveniences too, but don't live for them. And don't let them captivate you. Don't hold them. Hold them with open hands. Your money, your bank account. Retirement? That's heaven. I'm not saying don't lay aside and don't be wise with what gives you, but listen, have it with open hands. Don't look to money. It could be worth nothing tomorrow. Serve the Lord with your life. Our Lord laid down His all. Right now, you lay aside everything, everything. For Christ, He is worthy. There may be one of you here today, maybe many of you, some of you here today without Christ. What a Savior. Eternal life is not eternal existence. Those in hell have that. Eternal life is a quality of life. It is a quality of life that will last now and forever. It is a quality of life that when you go through the heartbreaks and things that would rip your heart, being stabbed in the back, and we've certainly all known that, and having great losses in our life, and going through things like Job went through, we can say the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. and we can find the joy of our Lord's presence and His sufficient grace. It's life. It's walking with God. And Jesus came to save us from that selfish, sinful life that ruins and destroys us and takes us into eternal ruin. My friend, if you're here without Christ, I bid you come to the Savior who saves sinners. Red and yellow, black and white, young and old, it makes no difference what kind of sinner you are. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for our wonderful Savior, Your Son, who loved us and gave Himself for us. We cannot fathom why You love us, Lord. While we were yet sinners, we were ungodly and without strength. And yet You gave Your Son, and Savior, You gave Yourself to bear our sins, the wrath due unto them, that now we might be reconciled, that we might walk with You now and forever. Lord, we love You and we thank You. We ask that You would bless those that we've left behind. Lord, bless the ministries. For our military, we thank You for this today, Lord. We think of China, Lord, and we ask that You might bless those laboring there. And we look forward to going there ourselves. But Lord, bless the missionaries all over the world. Bless this church as a church full of missionaries, that this area of Oregon might be turned upside down. We thank You now, Father. Use them, we pray. Bless the leadership, Lord. Keep them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.